So let's go on and talk about your 53-year-old man. This looks interesting.
This is, again, a case of a special population, right? And we talked before about those 5-7% of people that may have DNA repair deficiencies, especially BRCA1 and 2 deficiencies. And this is an example of actually a referral, a second opinion patient, a 53-year-old, otherwise healthy patient, who presented with epigastric discomfort, was radiating to the back. He also had about a 10-pound weight loss. And again, treated, like we mentioned before, with antacids. And eventually, when he developed a jaundice, he went to the local hospital, was found to have a bilirubin of about 12, and a scan that showed a mass in the pancreas with the double duct sign, bile duct dilation, several liver lesions. He ended up undergoing a biliary stent placement because of the metastatic disease. Again, we need to decompress the liver to assure proper liver function for being able to treat the patient. And after stenting, his jaundice resolved and indeed a biopsy confirmed adenocarcinoma. Now, what's interesting about this patient, and it's very important to take that family history up front, he clearly had a strong family history of several relatives with breast, ovarian, and even pancreatic cancer. And he was of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. So immediately we thought about a potential germline BRCA mutation in this patient. And what we did is we ended up referring him. We actually have a pancreatic cancer multidisciplinary clinic where we have our medical oncologists who treat pancreas cancer, surgeons, radiation doctors. We have our genetic counselors on the spot available to see the patient at their first visit, nutritionists, etc. So our genetic counselor, of course, saw the patient that very day, and we did the blood germline testing and proved that this patient had a pathogenic BRCA2 mutation.
And so what was the next step?
So at this point, again, we talked that we don't necessarily have PARP inhibitors as a standard of care for BRCA mutated patients, but we know that platinum-based therapies are helpful. So we talked to the patient about the data, which supports either using gemcitabine and cisplatin in a patient like this or FOLFIRINOX. There are reports that even gemcitabine nab-paclitaxel can work. But again, when you have the data with the BRCA mutation, it's a hard argument not to offer the patient a platinum-based therapy. And what we ended up recommending, just to stay with the standard of care, was to recommend FOLFIRINOX. So we recommended FOLFIRINOX for this patient.
And what happened?
So the patient received FOLFIRINOX. He did have fatigue, neuropathy, just all the expected side effects with FOLFIRINOX. No major GI toxicity, luckily. We required a 20% reduction of the oxaliplatin, and he responded amazingly well. After about 6 months of therapy, he was left with about a 3-centimeter mass in the pancreas. The original tumor was about 4.5 centimeters, so it shrank to about 3 centimeters, but the liver lesions almost entirely resolved with the exception of one liver lesion that was about 2 centimeters in size. So he was left with one liver lesion and pancreatic head mass. So the question is, what do you do in this situation? There is a lot of data now that clinical trials are looking at maintenance therapy. There is a POLO study out there that after maximum response to platinum, you can randomize to potentially observation versus a PARP inhibitor, olaparib. There is another beautiful study at UPenn using rucaparib after maximum response, where everybody gets rucaparib as a maintenance regimen. So we discussed with the patient, and the choice was to enroll into the clinical trial with rucaparib, actually, as a maintenance, because it was then ascertained that on that study, you get a PARP inhibitor. It wasn't randomized to a placebo, potentially. So the patient ended up going to UPenn to enroll into the study, and he's on the study right now.
Any follow-up in terms of how he's tolerating the treatment or responding to it?
So far, so good. He started about a month ago, so it's a little early to tell, but no major red flags.
Interesting. When you were talking about this idea of DNA damage, what about somatic mutations as opposed to germline? What do we know about responsiveness to therapy? Is there a difference or are they pretty much the same?
Based on a breast and ovarian data, we actually think they are very much the same. We think that having a somatic BRCA mutation or a germline mutation would be as good in terms of the chance of responding to platinum therapy or potentially benefiting from PARP inhibitors. In the SWOG 1513 study, Neil, that I mentioned that we're hoping to have enough data to present at ASCO, we actually did biopsies on every patient and we looked at the somatic mutations both in the tumor and we collected blood for germline. So that was a prospective collection of specimens to see whether the PARP inhibitor benefited germline as good as somatic mutation patients. And again, we're eagerly awaiting that data. But preliminary research says that they should be as good. What we don't know is we don't know whether the ATM mutations, the RAD51s, the ATRs, we don't know whether those are going to be as meaningful in terms of platinum and PARP inhibitors alterations because there may be differences.